الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on the lessons from the wisdom of Luqman alayhi salam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Luqman. And from the last Jumu'ah, we are on the subject of Tawheed, where the ayat where Luqman alayhi salam said to his son, "Inna shirka la dhulmun azim." He said, "Shirk, joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the worst of all transgressions, the worst of all oppression." In a Sahih hadith in Bukhari and also in Muslim, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the hadith of going of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him to Yemen to present Islam to the people of Yemen. I narrated that in detail last week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn the principles of da'wah wa tabliq from this hadith, because there is no one who can teach the principles of da'wah better than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. I have requested Azhar to extract that piece from that hadith and to send that out inshallah as a standalone piece on the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect to da'wah also. So you will also get that along with the Jumu'ah you would have already got, but the other one you will get inshallah. In another hadith in Sahih Muslim, it is narrated from Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Islam is built on five pillars, five arkan, which is the plural of rukun, which means pillar. One is Tawheed, which is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu alone is worthy of worship. Two is the establishment of Salah, Iqamati Salah. Three is the payment of Zakat. Four is the fasting in the month of Ramadan. And five, the making of Hajj for all those who are able to make Hajj. We are coming close to the time of Hajj. Inshallah, in less than 2 weeks, we will be at Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj who are going there this year, and for all of those who will go there till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps the earth. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all their du'as, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those du'as insha'Allah. So what is meant by Tawheed in all of these texts and references of the Quran and the Sunnah which I have given you is affirming the meaning of the testimony that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the messenger, is the rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is the last and final of the anbiya wa rusul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that there is no Nabi and no Rasul after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now this is the essence of the religion of Islam. To believe in Tawheed is the essence of Islam. To not do so is to leave Islam. To believe in this comprises of three things. To believe in Tawheed, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the object of worship in your heart. So Tawheed starts in the heart. To bear witness of it with your tongue, with your speech, to make the declaration of the two kalimas, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And then the third one, which is equally important, is to act according to this all your life by your speech and your actions. So this is tasdeeq bil qalb wa iqrar bil lisan wa amal bil arkan. To have the amal with your jawarih, with your hands and feet and with your tongue. What we do and what we say must focus on Tawheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith is reported to have said, anyone who says la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah will with ikhlas will go to Jannah, will get Jannah. The Sahaba asked him, ya Rasulullah, what is the meaning of ikhlas of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? He said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. Now what is more clear than that? The ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. And what is the benefit of having the ikhlas of the kalima? It's Jannah. It's as simple as that. So what is haram? Shirk is haram. Gambling is haram. Alcohol is haram. Telling lies is haram. Leaving salah is even more haram. Taking dowry is haram. Spending wildly and ostentatiously, israf is haram. Fornication is haram in all its forms, whether it's by looking at things which are haram or whether it is actually doing things which are haram. And just think about that. I'm writing currently an article on education, and the whole point of why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibit something. And as I've said this before and I will say it again and again till the day I die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits something or permits something for our benefit. Because there is nothing that Allah that benefits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa samad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all needs, including the need to be obeyed. Allah has no need to be obeyed. Allah has no need to be worshipped. We worship Allah to reiterate our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We obey Allah because in that obedience is our personal benefit. Imagine the world. We very sadly have to say, imagine this world, because the world we have created is the opposite of what the world should be, and the imaginary world is something we have to imagine. We should actually have been saying, Alhamdulillah, we have this beautiful world. Imagine what the world would be without these principles and these ethics and these morals. That is what we should have been saying. But sadly, we have reached the other end of the spectrum, where we have a world which is completely free from ethics and morals and principles, where economic gain is the only principle. Somebody asked me this question, there's this whole debate going on about WhatsApp sharing of data with Facebook, which of course owns WhatsApp. So the people saying how bad WhatsApp is and how can they do that, and then they say it is free and so on and so on. And then somebody said to me, well, I think it is good for the economy. So I said, this is the standard justification we use for everything. It is good for the economy. So drilling shale oil is good for the economy. Fishing the seas until they are free from fish is good for the economy. Right? Polluting the atmosphere is good for the economy. Somebody is making money. So this is like, for example, the example I came to me was that it's like somebody who sells his organs for money. So good for the economy, right? So he's got two kidneys, he sells one kidney, he gets some money. So it's good for the economy. His personal economy, he's got more money in his pocket. Maybe he goes and buys another car or something. And then he sells this and he sells that and he sells that, and finally what happens? He's dead because he sold all his organs. Good for the economy. And that's exactly what we are doing in this world. We are taking decisions on the plea that it is good for the economy, decisions which are suicidal, decisions which are destroying us and destroying the world. Good for the economy. It's a completely insane argument, totally and completely insane argument to distill and extract and reduce the entire significance of the human race to a dollar figure. So all our morals and all our ethics and all our values and all our civilization and all our learning and wisdom and so on and so forth is worthless unless it makes money. Absolutely insane. And Islam says the exact opposite of this. Islam says that your morals are not subject to money. Your ethics are not subject to money. Your wisdom and learning and understanding is not subject to money. It says don't reduce yourself. Don't demean yourself as a human being by putting a dollar value on yourself as a person. Good for the economy. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And that's exactly the principle of Islam. This is the reason why we are saying that we have to learn Islam, not because Allah benefits, but because it's for our own benefit. We need to learn Islam and we need to practice Islam. So in the concept of Tawheed, some very critical principles, and I am quickly going through these. There are, as I mentioned earlier, there are detailed lectures of Aqeedah on the net, mine as well as other people. So by all means, go and learn that. Aqeedah is absolutely critical for all action, because without the, if you do action with the wrong Aqeedah, then the action has no meaning. But quick principles so that we can look at ourselves and say, what is it that I am doing today? How does it figure with regard to what my Aqeedah should be? So Tawheed is to recognize and accept the oneness and uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in His worship and in asking help from anyone other than Him. The second issue of Tawheed is that we do not ascribe the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anyone or anything in His creation, because He mentioned لَيْثَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Allah said He is not like anything in His creation. So we do not ascribe the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anyone or anything in His creation. We do not ascribe any quality that belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to any human being, to any of the malaika, to any jinn, to any tree, to any mountain, to any river, to any planet, to any sun, moon, sun, whatever. In creation, we do not ascribe a quality that belongs only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to absolutely anyone or anything in His creation. And similarly, we do not ascribe the qualities of the creatures to Allah. It's called, in English, it's called anthropomorphism. And it refers to both of these, to ascribe the qualities of Allah to creatures and vice versa. So we don't do that in any of His qualities. And therefore, we do not believe in, and we refute and deny, beliefs that ascribe qualities of knowledge of the future, of ilm al-ghayb, qualities of the omnipresence and omniscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qualities of the ability to influence the universe or people's lives, good luck, bad luck, the quality and ability to interfere in the order and process of the universe, and all such things. We do not ascribe any of these to people or to concepts or to anything in creation. We do not ascribe these qualities to anyone in the creation, whether it's a prophet, whether it is a rasul, whether it's a nabi, or whether it is any of the salaf or salihin, or whether it is any of the sahaba. We do not say that these people had ilm of the ghaib, or they have ilm of the ghaib. We do not say that they can influence good or bad, the khismat and the qadr that is written for anyone. We do not say that Isa alayhi salam can do it. We do not say that Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu can do it. We do not say that Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi can do it. And we do not say this about anybody. I am mentioning these three because these are the three in whose name the maximum shirk is committed. Fear the day when you will meet Isa alayhi salam face to face on the day of judgment before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the day when you will meet Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu before the throne of Allah. And fear the day when you will meet Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi before the throne of Allah. And remember that on that day, all three of them will wash their hands of you and they will say to Allah, Ya Allah, what they did is on their heads. I did not tell them to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this about Isa alayhi salam in the last ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah. But this applies to anyone in whose name shirk is committed. It applies to anyone about whom the ignorant And the ill-advised, they say that such and such a person can influence my fate, can influence my luck, can give me this or that, knows my future, knows what has not happened yet, or anything like this. Anyone who ascribes or anything like this to people, this person is committing open shirk. Please notice, I am not saying the person is a mushrik, I am talking about the actual action itself. We do not call anyone mushrik by name or by reference, but definitely about the action, we have to say what the action is. Any such action is shirk. Similarly, ascribing this to Rasulullah ﷺ, the most common one is, for example, and this is a common thing, and it's common only among the people who do not speak Arabic, because they don't understand Arabic grammar. For example, we have the system where people, after, especially after Jummah Salah, you would have seen in many masajid, people will stand up and they will, now they were facing the Qibla straight 90 degrees, they will go a little bit to one side, to the right. So they are now at a sort of 33 degrees angle, and they put their hand on their the left side of their chest, right hand on the left side of the chest, and they will say, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. The term ya is applied to someone who is present in front of you. And as I said, this is the problem of people who don't understand Arabic. The Arab will never say ya Rasulallah, unless he's standing in front of the qabr, in front of the rawda. But somewhere else, you are saying, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. This is shirk, because you are, by your term, you are saying and implying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here, in front of me now. Which, first of all, is factually incorrect. And secondly, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here in front of you, actually, and by reference, he is in front of all those people in all of those masajid who are doing the similar action at the same time, as well as he is in his qabr in the Rawda in Madina Munawwara in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. So what is it that you are now ascribing to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The ability to be in multiple places simultaneously. Now, whether you believe this in fact, meaning that by his dhat physically he is there, or whether you believe that he is there in terms of his ilm, both of these are qualities that belong to whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every place at the same time simultaneously by means of his knowledge. You, by saying ya Rasulullah, have ascribed this quality to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is he the messenger of Allah or is he Allah? Who is he? Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be witness to what you are saying. Who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is he Allah? No. He is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, ascribing that quality to him is also shirk. Now take this and say, what do you say about people who ascribe the quality of good luck and bad luck? This good will happen to me or this evil will happen to me unless I follow this system called Vastu, this system called Feng Shui. What do you say to that? Is that shirk or is it not shirk? So, but however, let me give you the standard excuse of Muslim builders and Muslim architects. What do they say? No, I don't believe in this. But I am building it because unless I build it like this, nobody will rent the house. So, do you believe this or you don't believe this? Huh? Tell me. Believing that unless you build a house according to Vastu, that house will not be rented by people, therefore your income will be affected. Is this believing in Vastu or not believing in Vastu? Believing in Vastu. Don't, please, you can't even fool me. How will you fool Allah? It is open shirk to do that. Open shirk to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness, and all of you are my witnesses on the day of judgment, that I have told you specifically in his masjid, Jalla Jalaluhu, in the position of the khatib, that vastu and feng shui and anything else like that to be invented or has been invented is open shirk. My brothers and sisters, all of these beliefs are open shirk, and if you believe them, then they render you out of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all of these falsehoods. Allah has given us the beauty and the purity and the sweetness of Tawheed, of Iman. Stick with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Raziq, not Vastu. If your house is meant to be a means of income for you, it will be a means of income for you whether you like it or not. And that's why the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain used to say that if the sky turns to iron, we are talking about people who are farmers, right? Agriculturists. So speaking the language of agriculture. They used to say that if the sky turns to iron and the earth turns to copper, we have no fear that Allah will still feed us. Imagine, this is a farmer saying, what will happen? If the earth turns to metal and the iron turns to metal, which means that you can neither plant anything nor can any rain fall, he said, we still have no fear because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Raziq. Inna Allaha huwa ar-Razzaqu dhul quwwatil matin. Surah Az-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is the one who feeds you with his power. He didn't say he is the one who feeds you through vastu. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Please do not do this to yourself. Because believe me, on the day when you meet Malakul Maut, on the day when Malakul Maut comes, that is the day when you will realize the value of vastu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put you in that situation. I want to make this clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to send salat and salam on His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. The question is not whether or not we should send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the answer is very clear. The one who ordered that this should be done is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in his kalam. And anyone who says that we should not or need not send salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has gone against the Quran, and therefore the person has exited Islam. So sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ibadah. It is obedience to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is directly in line with the Quran. The issue is not whether we should send salat and salam or not. The issue is how is it to be done. And this was the beauty of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. They did not invent things on their own. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when this ayat was revealed, the Sahaba went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we should send salat and salam on you. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allah has given this hukum. How must we do this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them what we know as Durud Ibrahim, which we also recited in Tashahud in Salah, which I just recited for you, and all of us know this durud. So this is the right way of sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, any other ways of durud that are there from authentic sources, this is the way of sending salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not by inventing things on our own, even though the intention behind this invention may be good, because you are saying we should send salat and salam standing up, how can we sit down? Then why is it that durud is in salah is only in sitting down? Why is durud not in qiyam? Durud is in jalsa, in the position of sitting, where we send durud on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do is what we do. We don't invent things on our own. The other issue with, as I mentioned, is the issue of grammar, of saying ya somebody. When you say ya in Arabic, it means the person is in front of you. Now the people make this, people again who do not understand Arabic, they make this other so-called objection. They say that when we go to the graveyard, we say as-salamu alayka ya ahlul qubur. We say salam on you, O people of the graves. Now there, when you are saying ya ahlul qubur, you are not addressing the people directly. There the ya is referring to the dua. We are saying salam on you, O people of the qubur.
If you really think that you are addressing them and you say, Ya Ahlul Khubur, Salaamu Alaikum, Ya Ahlul Khubur, and if somebody in the Khabrastan says, Wa Alaikum As-Salam, then you will have a problem. So the key thing to understand here is that it's not a matter of doing something which we like to do, even though our intention may be good. The key is to obey Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the key. If we don't do that, then there is a danger of falling into shirk. So therefore, standing and putting your hand on your chest and so on and so forth, all of these things, and saying Salatu Wassalamu Alaika Ya Rasulullah amounts to shirk. Please do not do that.
Right? My brothers and sisters, we believe therefore in terms of Tawheed that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is unlike anything in His creation. Laitha kamithlihi shay'un. He said He is not like anything in the Ashya. And He is not bound by any rule of His own creation. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the rules of creation, which we call the rules of physics. But the rule creator is not bound by the rule. And it is the shan of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He demonstrated this to us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the rule of the propagation of human beings by the coming together of a man and a woman. And the entire process of seminal fertilization and conceiving of the fetus and the development of the fetus in the womb of the mother and the birth process and so on and so on. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then showed us by doing that which did not conform to His own rule. By creating Isa alayhi salam without a father. From Maryam alayhi salam alone. And by creating Adam alayhi salam with neither a mother nor a father. And by creating Hawa alayhi salam from Adam alayhi salam. Who is the, if the mother is the one who gives you birth, who is the mother of Hawa alayhi salam? The man, Adam alayhi salam. Because she came out of him. Yeah, ajeeb the shan of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala creates the rule and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala takes the rule and turns it upside down because it is His rule. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the rule of gravity, which means that if you want to go into space, you need to generate enough energy to be able to break out of gravitational pull. And that is to go into space which is still in the same time-space dimension that we are in. Now, physicists and mathematicians have actually calculated and they said that if we want to go into a different dimension, we're not talking about space. Space is the same time-space dimension. If you want to go into a different dimension, and they have theoretically proven that there are 11 dimensions. So they say that if you have to go into a different dimension, then the amount of energy that you need to break out of this dimension is roughly the amount of energy that will be possible to create by annihilating this entire earth and everything it contains. So obviously by logically that cannot happen, because if you've annihilated everything, then you annihilate yourself as well. So then who's going into the other dimension? Nobody. But that's what they say. And then what, and this is the rule of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this is what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created, right? But then what did Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala do with His Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Al-Isra wal Mi'raj? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala took him, and then He took him dimension after dimension after dimension after dimension to where He wanted to take him. Without annihilating, without annihilating anything, without any rocket engines. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is proving that He makes the rules and only He can break the rule because He made the rule. And that's why I always say, I don't make the rule, I don't break the rule. At least not knowingly. May Allah forgive me for what I may have done without knowledge, but deliberately I do not break the rule. So my job is to follow the rule, and that's also your job. Because we didn't make the rule. Only the rule maker can go against His rule, because that is His rule. He owns the rule. And this is the fundamental theological principle in Islam called Tawheed. Any mixture or adulteration of this belief by associating anyone with Allah, either in his worship or in asking the help of anyone else along with or instead of Allah, or ascribing divinity or divine qualities to anyone other than Allah, to whom alone all divinity and divine qualities belong, renders the individual out of Islam. Similarly, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, we are talking about atheism. Denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying his attributes or any one or more of his attributes, denying his book as being his revelation, denying his promises, for example, Jannah, Jahannam, Yawmul Akhirah, and so on and so forth, denying them either directly or by in a joking way. There is no, please understand, there is no joking about Allah, there is no joking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is no joking about the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So please do not even do that. It amounts to kufr. So please don't do that. I know sometimes people do it because they don't really understand the gravity of what they are doing. That's the reason why we're explaining that. So to deny any of that, to deny his laws, to deny meeting with him, to denying Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his messenger, as well as to deny that he is the last and final messenger. So to deny that he is a messenger is also kufr, and to deny that he is the last one, meaning that someone else can come or has come after him, is also kufr. And all of these things render a person out of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in the ayat of Surah Sajda, where he said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah said, say to them that Malakul Maut has been set on them. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ, say to them that they will die. They will die. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ, and Malakul Maut has been set upon you. Say to them, you will die, and Malakul Maut has been set upon you, and he will extract your soul and bring you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very, very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and to deny that is something which renders us out of Islam. So therefore it's important for us to make tawbah if we have or have had any such beliefs. Let us make tawbah to say that whatever we knew or whatever we believed was false, and we accept the fact that this is false, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all this falsehood, and to keep us on Tawheed, and to take us in a state of Tawheed, because then inshallah al-Musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Now some du'as before.